Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's so good to see you all this morning. So I know we are all dying to know how the craft show went yesterday, and I have the final figures in front of me. It looks like we made a profit of $1,842. Yay! Thank you especially to the Women's Association that has worked tirelessly over the last couple days getting things set up, running it, and cleaning up. It was a really great event. It was nice to see everybody out and about and see all of the fall and winter crafts for sale. A couple of announcements to share with you all. So next Tuesday, we are going to be having our monthly deacons meeting. Deacons, just make note, that is a change in the dates. It won't be this Tuesday. It'll be the following Tuesday, the 27th. You should have all received a Zoom link from me. If you have not, let me know and I will resend it to you. Another announcement, we are in the process of getting the November newsletter together. So if you have an announcement, something you would like to put in the newsletter, please, please, please let Lynn know as soon as you are able. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Can I announce about November 8th stewardship?
Not so bad.
Is that okay? I don't want to like spill the beans on it. So November 8th, that's coming up in a couple weeks, we are going to have our Stewardship Sunday. You'll be receiving a letter from us reminding about stewardship. And then after service on the 8th, we're going to head over into Fellowship Hall for a lunch. We're going to have spaghetti, meatballs, salad, cupcakes. So please plan to attend if you are able.
I also announced on November 14th and the Glenshaw Century.
Yes. So November 14th, we are going to be the host site for the Glenshaw House Tours. People are going to be meeting in the parking lot to begin the tours and to come back from the tours. So because of that, we are going to be decorating for Christmas a little bit earlier this year than we normally do. So all of the Christmas decorations will be up before that event, just so people can get a sense of what we look like at Christmas time. So if you're wondering what's going on that day, that is what's going on that day. So we're excited about that.
Good question. Are we supposed to put up a Deacon Angel tree yet then? That goes in that? Okay.
No. Yes. All right. Any other announcements? Heather.
Just that the Boy Scouts room I think it's the 26th, that Monday night, we'll be having a court of honor. So if anyone's around would like to attend, as long as we keep our numbers within the range, they're welcome to attend that at 7 p.m. on that Monday night.
Okay. Okay. Everybody hear that? Ish, no, I didn't quite hear it.
What is it? November 26th, which is a Monday night, the Boy Scout troop will be having a court of honor. It's at 7 o'clock,
yes.
And if anyone would like to come within socially distance guidelines, they're welcome to join.
Yes, thank you, Heather. So November 25th, it's a Monday night at 7 o'clock. The Boy Scouts are having their Court of Honor celebration. Anybody from the church wants to join me and attend, I'll be going if you're looking for somebody to sit with. The Boy Scouts do ask that you bring a mask and you socially distance in that event. All right. Thank you, Heather. I have it on my calendar. November is coming so quickly. I can't believe it's next month already. All right, friends, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with us for the opening hymn, O Sing to the Lord.
Amen.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Almighty and merciful God, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent. According to your promises, declared to the world in Jesus our Lord. And grant, O merciful God, for his sake, that we may live a holy, just, and humble life to the glory of your holy name.
Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that we are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another from our seats.
You are royal. just a praise request again for the good results of the craft show yesterday. And as Rebecca pointed out, November approaching quickly, and every day that passes, we get a little bit closer to back to normal with Stewardship Sunday and another luncheon and the house tour and Thanksgiving and all these things. So praise for all of that. Prayer request today, prayer request from Sandy Salmon for her granddaughter Sammy. Sammy broke her foot in three different places playing soccer, and just asking for prayers for quick healing and complete recovery. From Bev Ruby for her brother-in-law Wayne. Many of you know Wayne Ruby. He has pneumonia and he is at home now, but he has been hospitalized. So prayers for a speedy recovery for Wayne as well. And from Clara, prayer requests for her sister Kathy Henrietto. Kathy had some surgery this past week. She is recuperating at home. I'm told she's going to be 100%. I'm also told that she's not the most patient person. Imagine that. And she's hoping to be back to normal quickly. So prayers for Kathy as well as the people that are taking care of her. And praise request for Verna and Jim. They welcomed a new baby into their family. Katie had a baby boy. When? Just this week, 2 weeks ago. So Verna is now a great grandmother again.
Friends, please join me in prayer. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship and, forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life to a broken world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, this morning we lift up to you Sammy, Wayne, and Kathy. We pray that you would be with them as they recover from surgery and broken bones and pneumonia. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we continue to pray for a treatment and a vaccine for COVID-19. We pray that you would send your spirit of resilience for us in the coming months as we enter a new season of this virus. We pray that we would be able to do and attend the things that make this season so special while keeping everybody safe. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we are so grateful that we were able to have the craft show yesterday. We thank you for all of the volunteers that made that event possible. We thank you for the generosity of our community, that the money that we raised, we would be able to pour back into our community. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that Verna is a great grandmother again. We give you thanks and praise that mother and baby are doing well. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering.
us give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Scripture reading for today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As it gets a little bit cooler out, I've really enjoyed going for evening walks in my neighborhood. In the last couple weeks, I've noticed a proliferation of political signs in my neighbors' front yards. It's as though people have decided that these political signs are how they're going to decorate for Halloween this year. My neighbors had kind of an interesting take on this tradition. Instead of letting everyone know who she's voting for in this election, she hung two different types of signs. One sign said, "Support our police," and the other sign said, "Black Lives Matter." Now, on one of my evening walks, I noticed that my neighbor was putzing in her garden, so I decided to take a minute and ask her about the signs. She said that she had put these signs up because she was tired of the false choices being presented to her during this election cycle. That one either supported the police or supported Black Lives. She said, "Real life is more complicated than one or the other." She told me this story about the Ross Township police. I live in the North Hills. One day she accidentally locked her keys in the car and she had to call the police, and they were very sweet about it and were able to unlock her car and help her get her keys. But she also said that she supports changing national policing policies so that they're fair for everyone. She shared with me that her sister's grandkids are African American, and she wants them to grow up in a world where they are safe to be who God created them to be. I think my neighbor is on to something. We should be skeptical when we're presented with false choices. When someone tells us that there are only two possible ways forward. And when they do that, they strongly imply that one choice is much better than the other one. Rarely are big, complicated issues able to be boiled down into two neat choices. It has been my experience that when someone presents me with a false choice, they usually do this because they're trying to entrap me, to force me to say or do something that I am later going to regret. In our scripture reading for this morning, the Pharisees and the Herodians present Jesus with a false choice because they're trying to entrap him. Their question, "Is it lawful to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" was meant to give Jesus two choices. One, defy Caesar and refuse to pay taxes, which, you know, is this little thing called sedition, or intentionally trying to incite a rebellion against established authority, which during Jesus's time was punishable by death. Or offend his followers who think that this tax is oppressive and immoral. Jesus knew that the choice for himself and his followers was more complicated than engaging in sedition or not. Friends, the whole nature and trajectory of God's kingdom, the one that Jesus is inaugurating and is inviting people to participate in, this is fundamentally at odds with Caesar. However, Jesus knows that his disciples have to live in a particular time and place, and it takes nothing away from their identity as children of God to render to Caesar what is his due. Just don't mess around with the things that belong to God. I think that Jesus' instructions regarding taxes speak to his larger concern of how his disciples are to live in this already, but not yet, kingdom of God. So how to live after the time when Jesus came, but before the time when Jesus will return. When Jesus returns, the question of taxes becomes irrelevant. God is going to restore creation to its intended glory. But until Jesus returns, governments are necessary. And governments need tax revenue to maintain our roads, to staff our police, and to provide services for the vulnerable in our communities. For Jesus, this choice of whether or not to pay taxes to Caesar is a false one because it oversimplifies the complicated issue of what it means to be children of God. As children of God, our primary identity comes from the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In our own lives, we seek to follow Jesus and obey his teachings. But children of God live out their identity in a particular time and in a particular place. We pay our taxes to Caesar out of a sense of what Martin Luther calls our civic responsibility. Never forgetting that our primary identity comes from Jesus, not from government. Still, paying taxes to Caesar does not resolve this tension of how exactly we are to live in this in-between time, as we call it. If paying taxes doesn't relieve this tension, what will? This week, I was talking to a friend of mine who is an avid reader, and she recommended that I go read this book called Love is the Way, Holding Onto Hope in Troubling Times. It was written by a man named Bishop Michael Curry. Bishop Curry is the bishop of the Episcopalian Church. He's basically the head of that entire denomination. But you're probably more familiar with him because he is the priest that married Prince Harry and Meghan Markle in 2018. His homily at their wedding garnered worldwide attention from a very simple message he preached. He preached that love is the only force in the universe powerful enough to change the world. He writes, "And love, unselfish, sacrificial, unconditional, and liberating love, is the way, frankly, the only way, to realize God's dream of the beloved community, on earth as it is in heaven. It's the only thing that can and that ever will make the world a better place." Friends, I think the point of Jesus' teaching for us today is it's fine for us to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, because Caesar is not the most important thing. Love is the most important thing. Love of God and love of neighbor. The problem with false choices is that they entrap us into thinking that one choice is obviously more loving than the other, when we all know that the way of love is complicated and messy and totally worth the aggravation. Love is the only thing powerful enough to change the world. And God's love for us in Jesus is the only thing that will inaugurate the kingdom of God. This week, our challenge is to discern how God is calling us into the way of love in our own lives. For me, this is going to mean staying more present and engaged in the midst of political discussions. I'd rather tune out. For you, it might mean doing something you'd rather not do, like, I don't know, baking cookies for the craft sale, or sitting at the church all afternoon and supervising the construction of the new flooring in our fellowship hall. For other people, it might mean sitting with a loved one who is in pain, knowing that you can't fix it, but you are called to bear witness to it. In whatever way we choose to participate in God's love in the world, we do it knowing that our job is to do our job in God's great movement of love and let God do the rest. We may never see the fruits of our labor, and that's okay. The point is to get started. So when we're faced with a false choice in our own lives, we can reject them and instead imagine the way of love. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, He is Exalted. Let me say a word of blessing as we prepare to go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.